the man who built his house on the rock and how it stands firm against the trouble, as we saw in that illustration this morning. We are warned to avoid being like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, whose house crashes into the ground when there's a flood, as we saw earlier this morning too. And I was prepared to preach all about this, thinking it was a lovely way to talk about how it is good to be part of a strong community and how God has blessed us with a strong foundations, all as part of the preparations for our 150th anniversary in just a couple of weeks' time. Then looked at the story again. And in the scheme of Matthew's gospel, which Joe just read to us. And then I looked at the same story in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 6, I think it is. And each time I looked at the Bible, I learned something new and fresh, as if it was something that I had picked up before. And how exciting it is when God shows us something new. Often we think of the story as a children's story, but there's so much more depth to it. In the context of our 150th, I've been looking through some of the archives of how and when Main Street came into being. Many will know that the original building at the front there was St. Dunstan's Chapel, built as a temporary parish church while St. Lawrence's was undergoing restoration. And recently I discovered a beautifully written description about what Main Street was to become when Main Street Chapel took over in the 1970s. To me, it spoke deeply of the foundations, where this group come from, why they believed that God would put them in Frodsham. And so I've copied the original. The original may well turn up on a board in the next couple of weeks. And I think it may have been John Maitland that wrote this alongside Andrew Rudd, Arthur Whittingham, and possibly one or two others. And it says, what sort of church is this? It was purchased by a small group of Christians in Frodsham, extensively repaired and reopened in 1979 as Main Street Chapel. Where did it come from? In the beginning, 1972, there were some families who commuted from Frodsham to Brook Chapel, an independent evangelical fellowship in Runcorn. They started a Sunday school in Frodsham and began to meet initially as a fellowship group and later as a church. Though we are independent in the same sense that we're not part of any denomination, we have a great desire for unity and fellowship with other Christians in the community. We need each other. We didn't come into being through some breakaway splits or heresy. I have the same sense of in our fellowship and within the wider community today. Need each other. This is, in many ways, I guess, our unofficial governing document. It's kind of who we really are. Yes, I've also found the original trust document the original trustees signed regarding the building and the charity status, signed back in the 1970s as well. This charity status that was Frodsham Evangelical Fellowship Trust, which then came to be Main Street Community Church. But that's a leak. This little flyer, which I guess people picked up or was put through people's letterboxes, gently explains what purpose is in Frodsham. And in a roundabout kind of a way, this is precisely what Jesus was talking about as he rounds off his Sermon on the Mount at the end of Matthew chapter 7, and similarly at the end of the Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6. He ends both messages with the story of the men who build. Except in Matthew, there's a focus on the people. One is wise, one is foolish. In Luke, if you look at it, in Luke chapter 6, verses 47 to 49, there's a focus on the type of foundation that buildings are built. both strands are really, really important, because Jesus is ending his important sermons by talking actually about himself. And the sermons on the mountain, on the plain, are a real challenge to Jesus' hearers. It's as if Jesus is putting out there what he believes, who he is, what he's doing here. It's like a political manifesto, if you like. We just look at Matthew chapter 7 today. We have Jesus asking questions of his audience as he presents his credentials. Earlier on in Matthew chapter 6, he's like talked about the gates and the narrow road that leads to eternal life. And he's asking, well, are you on the road? East on the road. And next in chapter 7 and verses 15 to 23, he's asking questions about the people. Again, in the sense of a tree and its fruit. How can you tell if there's real change and transformation in a person who's followed Jesus? Is there fruit? Is there real change? And then the challenge about the wise and foolish builders is hearing the words, putting them into action. Normally we think about the story of the foolish and the wise men and talk about the importance of what foundations in our lives are built upon. These are correct interpretations of scripture and challenges that we must keep in mind, but Jesus uses this story as a mere example after a list of others, what actions must come as a result of hearing. You see, the foolish man hears. He doesn't put the words of Jesus into action. The wise man, however, listens and acts. In Matthew 7, there's a comparison between a wise person and a foolish person. In Luke chapter 6, there's a comparison between foundation and no foundation. In both accounts, Jesus is calling his hearers to put what they hear of his words to action. Throughout the whole last chapter or so of the Sermon on the Mountain in Matthew, Jesus is paving the way to ensure that his hearers listen to what he's saying and to who he says he is. Before our story today, Jesus has talked about the religious and the moral rules of the time. Looking back to Matthew chapter 5 in the commentary about what the Old Testament scriptures say about murder and promises and adultery and how to treat one another, the rabbis of the time would follow one teacher or another teacher, and they'd talk about that individual's teaching. Jesus takes this line of thought as well, and he says, well, you've heard it say, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I tell you. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you. Jesus has been quite blunt about it. I tell. He's saying to those who hear that those who have come before him in the tradition can be listened to, but he must be heard. His way is worth. Tom Wright, who you know, I enjoy his writings, puts it this way. Jesus insists in the great warning which closes the Sermon on the Mount that his hearers will be judged, not even on their response to God himself, on whether they hear these words and doing what Jesus says or not doing it. This makes the difference between a house that stays standing in a storm and a house that falls. Those original hearers on the mount, Jesus was presenting himself as the one to be listened to. In Matthew, he's already called to himself the 12 disciples. He now puts into effect this manifesto of what the kingdom is going to be like in the Beatitudes that he starts off with. And now as the sermon ends, Jesus' sermon ends, not the challenge is all who are listening. What kind of land are you building upon? On whose foundation is this going to rest? same question applies to us today. Coming back to that kind of document that I found from John Maitland, written by the elders of Main Street Chapel back in the 70s, I was struck by the honest and yet gentle approach in which this flyer was written. It harkened back to the original building that was built to house the parish church whilst it underwent renovations. It spoke about the need for repair and reopening as something new. The new was not as a result of any falling out from another congregation, but from a desire to fulfill what it called a distinctive slot in the variety of worship within our community. Distinctive slot. It even challenged people who are part of another worshiping community to think and pray very seriously before changing that regular allegiance. Our forebears of what became Main Street Community Church began on a foundation which to me seems as strong, as gentle, and with as much blessing as possible from those who sent them off from Runcorn and those who received them into the heart. And so this flyer honestly sets out foundations for what the chapel stood for and why the leaders felt that it was really something from God. Foundations set by wise people. In his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, Kenneth Bailey speaks about the process of first century building in Israel, which might help us understand why Jesus ends his sermon the way that he does. And Bailey says, well, for the contemporary reader, this parable has lost its initial impact. In the modern Western world, a person who wants to build a house hires a JCB to dig the foundation. Concrete for the foundation is delivered on the back of a cement truck. Concrete blocks are lowered into the foundation with power equipment. Not in Israel, Palestine. And villages only build in the summertime then. The rains come in the winter. Nobody wants to build a stone house in winter. Summer provides dry, warm days suitable for building houses. There is a downside. During the summer, the soil is like bronze. It's easy to imagine a build in the summer. With his pickaxe, he tries digging and finds that the ground is indeed like bronze. The idea of long days of back-breaking work under scorching sun really doesn't appeal to him. He opts to build his simple home hard clay. That winter, however, there is more rain than anyone can ever remember, and the ground rapidly becomes soaked. A small runoff stream starts to run down his street, and the ground begins to turn into the consistency of something like chocolate. The clay under the stone walls of this newly built house begins to settle and buckle as a result. One stone after another pops out of the wall in the same way that when you drive along a road and the stones wash out in the rain. A serious bulge develops and the bulge expands and finally gives way, bringing down the entire structure. Century Middle Eastern villages use mud, mortar. If the wall is not built on the underlying rock, it will only last for as long as it remains dry and settle. Building on the firm foundation is good. These are the words of Jesus. And yet he passes these words on to his followers. They're not only words for them to think about, words for us to react to as well. Imagine then when Jesus approached Peter, who just moments before in Matthew chapter 16 has proclaimed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus gives him this ultimate surprise. Well, Peter, which means rock. Peter, on this rock I will put my church, and the gates of Hades will prevail against it. As we know, Peter went on to lead the church, the group that became known as the followers of the way in Acts. And before this, Jesus visited the disciples after his resurrection, two of them, and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Then at Pentecost, this receiving of the Holy Spirit took place to all the believers who were gathered in that upper room. And Peter, as I say, becomes the leader of this Jesus group and continues to pray and to do what the scriptures call signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. And so in spite of his impetuousness, Peter becomes the first leader of the worldwide church. Jesus chooses his friend, Peter, to take this forward. Today, here at Main Street, as we reflect upon the history that began to build our fellowship, we have that similar calling upon our lives to hear the words of Jesus. Might not always get it right, but have a God who delights to forgive our mistakes, who loves to pick us up, put us on our feet and gently speak to us, whispering, come, let's try again. That's why it's important for us to be part of a community so that we're not alone and we don't struggle. As the original elders' document that I talked about earlier reads, we're very keen on each Christian making the contribution God has intended him for. We see the ministry of the church as being in the hands of all its members. It's in the loosest sense of the word. If we build our lives on Jesus, we will be part of the house that lasts forever. And so the challenge that we know from this story still asks us, well, what kind of houses are we building today? In our church, how are we? Are we doing Jesus' words, or are we hearing them or reading? We must hear and we must obey. It's not always easy. But this is the stark message that Jesus had for those who were listening to him when he delivered that first Sermon on the Mount. And now we, through Peter the Rock, through our own spiritual foundation set by the original elders of this fellowship in many ways, are called to follow in those same steps, to trust. Bless his words to us this morning.